If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Welcome back to Misunderstood and the Sarah Fraser Show going live on Rumble. How are you, Sarah?
Rachel, I am so great. I had a good week. What's going on with you?
Well, you know, I've had an interesting week myself. I will tell you that at the beginning of the week, I got a call to interview with a show that's starting in its second season on Tubi called House of Heat. Have you seen it?
I have seen it because my friend, who I love, Ava Louise, is one of the women on there. She's sort of the villain in it. And I think I'm 4 episodes in. So I enjoy Ava. She's an instigator for sure. She's an acquired taste. She's ruffling feathers in House of Heat. But I love the concept, which is OnlyFans creators living together for a few weeks out here in LA. And the idea is they're supposed to be helping each other's businesses grow. I love the concept.
Right. Right. I have not seen it. It was the first time I had ever heard of it. I didn't even really know what Tubi is. Now, did you know this? Tubi was a channel that's kind of been around for a while, but it was recently bought by Fox. And I think the goal is that it's going to become the Peacock of NBC. We'll see how well they do. But apparently House of Heat was one of their top rated shows. Do you know of any other show that's on Tubi, by the way?
Well, they used to have Fox Soul, which was kind of a almost an e-entertainment news type show, but more for Tubi. That just got canceled. So I watched a couple of their Fox shows like that. I think they had a judgment show, kind of a Judge Judy type thing that's been canceled. I'm not sure if they're trying to find their footing.
Yeah. Well, if a lot of things are getting canceled, something must be replacing it. I don't know. It's a little odd. Anyway, so they're starting to think of season 2 right now, and I think they want to change it up a little bit. They did get picked up. They're thinking of doing it, and I'll give you a little bit of scoop. They're thinking of doing it in Miami. I live in Palm Beach, You know, I don't have an OnlyFans account. I never have had an OnlyFans account. I've been thinking of starting an OnlyFans account only because, listen, I have no desire to go around and take off my clothes, but I do have a desire for financial freedom. And why not? A girl's got to do what a girl's got to do. There's no reason not to. And even no matter how much money you have coming in, if you are in a single family income household, am I saying that right? I always am nervous of who's supporting me, and I'm supporting myself. So why not? You know what I mean? So I've been in talks with them, yeah. I will say, on launching an OnlyFans. I've been in talks with OnlyFans about launching an OnlyFans. I have not done it yet. And so I'm, you know, I'm just hearing, you know, seeing what the moving parts are and seeing if it's worth it. Okay. In the meantime, I got this call to kind of interview for this role. And I was very clear with them. I'm like, listen, I don't have an OnlyFans account. And they were like, well, no, we love the idea of you possibly coming into the house as a person who is learning from these people, and they are helping you start your OnlyFans.
Yeah.
And you're kind of coming in as like a role of like, wait, what are you girls doing? Are you sure you want to be doing that? Or if they're running into the other room, I mean, I saw some clips about people that were going into like, talk about how they were about to do threesomes and they were coordinating. Listen, I've had an intimacy coordinator on, and you have to talk about the choreography of a lot of those scenes. So nobody gets hurt. People don't look stupid, you know, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So I can see myself hearing these guys be like, okay, we're going to go do our sex scene. And I'd be like, wait, I want to come watch this because I want to see how this is done. Like I would get into hearing about it and maybe watching to see the moving parts, but I'm not about to like do some threesome on my OnlyFans. Sorry guys. Like it's just not my, would you?
Oh my God. I would love to be a sex worker. I can't. Well, I really want to be a foot fetish model. And you know, this week was a big week because I just signed, my husband and I signed the paperwork to buy 8 eggs to use an 8 egg donor. Cause we've had like 3 miscarriages. Like thank God we have this beautiful, healthy son, but it's been really hard to have another child, and I'm 42 now. So I don't think it's going to happen naturally, but I've had this vision of doing a documentary to see how much money I could make as a foot fetish model while pregnant, because I think these men would pay so much money to see my feet like and belly. But then I'm like, is this dramatic to the
Oh my gosh. That is amazing.
Why are we on Rumble every week just with in our bras? And can we get tips on Rumble?
That's very interesting. You know, I think I've heard that, by the way, wouldn't it be fun to do something like cleavage and
yes.
And coffee, you know, or whatever, or I don't know. We have to come up with something fun. It looks like I'm in some sort of lingerie. I'm not, I'm in a workout outfit, but, you know, ooh, I don't look even well, here. But anyway, we could sex it up a little bit and see what happens.
I've always wanted to do it, but I'm this person that I love to watch. Like I'm very, you know, I love an exhibition, you know, but I don't know. Then I never really do it. I'm very boring in real life. You know, I talk a big act, but
But that's why you need to have an OnlyFans, because you can act it all out there. You could be who you secretly want to be.
Well, and you know, the way you make money on OnlyFans is you have to talk to these men all the time. I can't do that.
Well, okay. But hold on. This is the same thing about like people calling the paparazzi on themselves to act like they, you know, it's all reality when it's completely staged. People that are doing these OnlyFans, I know because I've been in talks, it's like they're outsourcing who is speaking to the people in their DMs to like the Philippines. And, you know, all these, you know, young children are probably responding to the DMs you're getting. I mean, it's terrible, you know, but I actually think that would be something I don't want to outsource. To me, that would be fun to sit in bed at night, like just reading all these things and being like, oh yeah, baby. You know how you always, when we were younger, used to see commercials for like 800 numbers or whatever it was, where men could call in. 900 numbers. Yeah.
A voice sex worker so fast.
Yeah. And the thing is that you always imagine them looking like Pamela Anderson, but really they were like 600 pounds smoking a cigarette in their kitchen knitting or whatever. And they're like, oh baby, I'm taking it off. You know, they're like, it's not Pamela, sweetheart. You know, it's like Auntie May or something, you know, Mabel.
I would be, yeah, I think you'd be great on that show. I love it. And they have on season one, they have content creators that are on OnlyFans that don't take their clothes off. And the other content creators in the house are like, are you kidding? There's this whole kind of rivalry with the ones that have hardcore sex and the ones that don't. There's almost a little bit of jealousy, or you think you're better than I am because you don't take your clothes off. I don't know who is paying subscription, but maybe it's because they think they're speaking to them. Who's on OnlyFans paying for someone not to take their clothes off?
Well, like, I think that, I mean, I heard someone speak on this the other day. I think the point is that they keep coming back thinking, oh, I'm going to get more. Like, I want to see more. It's that, you know, that mystery of like, because once you give it all up at the beginning, listen, I was also coached on this from talking to OnlyFans. If you give it up all at the beginning, you'll get a really big number right off the top, but everyone else will drop off because they've seen it already. So what is there to look forward to? How many times can you see a puss, you know? Like, so a tits yeah. are tits. So like, you know, maybe it looks good in some things and coming out of them, but like, you know, once you've seen it, you've seen it.
Oh my God. That's so, okay. Well, good. This is good. Cause I'm going to do a foot fetish thing and I like my feet in food. So I think that's going to be my real
thing. I'm sorry. What do you mean?
Have you ever gone to a winery where they have a bucket where they have you stomp your feet and make the grapes? You know how you have to break down grapes to get wine?
Yeah.
Have you ever been to a winery where they'll do you hop in and like you stomp?
Yes, I used to have a house in Calistoga, California. Yeah.
It's the best.
Basically on a winery. Yeah.
It's the best feeling in the world. So I really want to do like my feet in all kinds of food.
I think that's funny you say that. I think it's absolutely disgusting. I don't like walking on grass. I don't like putting my foot in anything. I think it's absolutely gross. But I will tell you, my mother was, her very first job was a foot model. And I have amazing feet. Okay. My feet are pretty amazing. So I get it. Like I would love to take pictures of my feet and have that be a thing, but you know, I don't really know that that's going anywhere. We should try it. I mean, listen, next time I have my conversation with OnlyFans, we'll see what happens.
Okay, yeah.
All right. Let's move on to more important things that people want to hear about. First of all, do you have any products that are sponsoring your show today that you want?
Yes. Nutrafol. Let's talk about Nutrafol, which is the hair growth supplement. They've been a longtime sponsor of TSFS. And when you go to Nutrafol.com, you can get a discount by using the promo code TSFS. And Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement. Nutrafol.com. Use code TSFS to get free shipping and $10 off your first subscription. I've been taking it for years. It's great for postpartum hair or if you have thinning hair. It really works. So people
amazing. And they've sponsored me before and I absolutely love it, to be honest with you. They have different versions too. They have the men's version. I think they have a kid's version now or a teen version. But you know, I love taking those things. I don't know if it's a placebo effect, but I do find that it works. The only problem for me is that you have to take 4 pills, but as long as you do are consistent with it, I do feel like you see that it works. So as a person who does take it, I think it is a good product to try, especially if you want thicker, longer hair.
Yes, girl. Me too.
So for me, I want to tell you that Holistic Goddess is sponsoring our show as they always do. And I love them so much. Have you gotten into the bison thing yet?
I have had bison burgers before and I have had a bison steak.
Okay. What do you think of it?
Amazing. It's great. Okay. It tastes really good. And you know, you have to prepare it right, I would say, is my only thing, because it has that. I'm sure you've had venison, like deer meat.
But I don't like that taste.
Yeah, it's a little more earthy. Yeah, gamey. So I feel like that can be a little bit bison-y, but your product is actually just getting all the nutritional benefits, right?
Exactly. So that's what I was going to say. All the nutritional benefits of bison go into these capsules. It's bison liver, heart, all these things that you really need, this protein-based stuff that you're getting. You take 6 capsules a day. They're very tiny. I'm not kidding. Within 3 days, you feel a difference in your energy. It really helps with, you know, women that are having, menstruating, people that are also going through menopause. It has a lot to do with that. Very good. Love it. People should try it. They also have a great collagen, supplement that I like, and I am loving it. I'm on month 2. And feel like when I go on a trip, I don't want to go without it. So I'm really happy with it. You get 15% off if you use the code understood at holisticgoddess.com. So everyone should try it out.
Love. Bye.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about the thing that everyone's talking about this morning, which is the fact that Kamala Harris finally sat down last night with her running mate in an interview with CNN. Did you watch it live?
I did not watch it live. I have watched it since then and been reading all the different commentary and feedback. Yep. I think overall people thought she did pretty well. And again, this
I got that too. Yeah.
Yeah. I think Twitter had a fairly good reaction. Now it's really siloed, right? It's kind of the websites you look at, because if you look at some of more of the right-leaning ones, they basically felt like she has to use, why is her first interview with Tim Walz? There's a couple of theories, but you know, is that because she can't really do it on her own and she's not great on her own? So this was like a good first icebreaker. The other thought is she saving her real big one-on-one with like a 60 Minutes type deal, almost even a bigger platform than CNN? CNN's getting more bashed than Walz and Kamala are. People are not big fans of Dana. I believe her last name is Bash, the one who did.
Dana
Bash.
Yeah.
They're not thrilled about her as an interviewer. But overall, I thought it was pretty good. I mean, they're obviously working with Kamala to be my, I guess, critique of her always prior is she's very smiley. You know, it's very giggly. And that they very toned down, I thought. So that was really
well,
good.
Well, I was going to say that too. I felt like it was very low energy. You know, Dana is not very high energy to begin with. So, I don't know. To me, it was a little boring, quite frankly. I couldn't watch the whole thing. I did watch. I ended up seeing highlights this morning as well. You know, I don't know that a lot of questions were aimed towards Tim. So it was like he didn't add very much. I liked that he was there. I did do some research on it. I've seen that in the past. The person up for president has brought the vice president along for some interviews. So I don't mind it. Also, they're new. People want to know them and their policies. Why not bring him? I don't think that there was a thought that he was going to protect her if she couldn't answer a question and he would come out and answer a better question. I just don't think that that was really the case. You know what I mean? So I like that he got to address the fact that people were making fun of his son and see what his thoughts were. I don't know if you saw that. He commented on that. And then, you know, she got to talk a lot about policy. She also, I saw that they asked her a question about, talking about what Donald Trump had said, questioning her race. And she kind of didn't have an answer. I didn't love that, although I think maybe it was good because it's like, don't fuel the fire for that. But at the same time, it was sort of like she had no answer. She was just like, uh-huh. She just nodded her head. And I thought she could have given a better remark. I don't know. I just felt like it was a little bit low energy. So it wasn't that overwhelming to me.
I agree. It was low energy. I think that's the way they want her to be. I think that's the way.
I didn't love it. I loved her before. But the other thing is I did watch, watched Fox this morning just to see what they were saying. And, you know, they were attacking the fact that she's calling her a liar and a flip-flopper, which I think is so ridiculous when that is your candidate. You know what I mean? Like, what are they talking about? The person flip-flopping is Vance, right? He hated Trump a couple of years ago. So that's what I didn't understand. But they were really getting on this whole fracking thing and how she's flip-flopped about fracking. And, you know, they were like, how could she do it? And she's a liar. Well, I didn't see it as that. I think she had an opinion. And then by being in office or in her experience, she came to change her mind. What is wrong with that? I mean, I wasn't following why that makes her a liar.
What's wrong with it is they never say that. They never say, well, you know, I looked into it. And of course, the reason she's pro-fracking now is because in the state of Pennsylvania, a swing state, fracking is huge business for that state. A lot of people rely on there and have made their incomes there. But fracking is the practice of basically deep drilling into the earth for oil and other natural resources, right? Mm-hmm. Which a lot of environmentalists feel is very, very detrimental to the earth. So the problem is with her and Trump and any good politician is they never go back and say, it's like my guy, Gavin Newsom out here in California. They mm-hmm. never go, okay, you know what? Yeah, I said that I wanted to end it, but I realize, okay, it's really a great thing for the people of Pennsylvania. Blah, blah, blah. We're going to combat the environment in other ways.
If she had come out with reasons of why she changed her mind, we would all be like, oh, that makes sense. And, you know, I don't know if they're just trying to make the soundbite smaller to yeses and nos or what, but it seems like common sense that you would say, I did not change my mind for no reason just because I want to vote. I changed my mind for these reasons that we should all be aware of. So I don't know. Well, it seems
I'm sure she believes that fracking is awful for the earth, but she wants to be elected. So, I mean, and I'm not saying Trump doesn't do this. I mean, you know, the Trump administration is now trying to backtrack a little bit on women's rights and abortion because they know they've lost. The Republicans have lost a lot of races over that. They know the American people, even in conservative leaning states, want some limit for a woman to make that choice. They all flip-flop. I mean, so she flip-flopped there. You know, I did like to hear in this interview, again, she reiterated her standing by Israel. She is going to send them weapons. That's going to be very interesting to see what the lefter side believes, because colleges are heading back. We're going to see if these pro-Palestine rallies continue. But she's made it pretty clear how she stands with Israel. So we'll see how that plays out.
Yeah.
But no, I like her tone down for sure. They are not going to fall for any of the race stuff or the women's stuff. You know, yeah. I thought, again, you never hear her lean in. I'm the first woman this. She's leaning out of that Hillary Clinton playbook, which I think is very smart. People don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear about race. So she shut that race question down real quick about former President Trump saying, well, now you're using, you know, now you're conveniently black when you're, you know, running this race. And she's like, look, I know who I am. Next question. So she's not going to engage in that, which I think is very smart. It was good. It was a good look. I mean, it's so hard to get a sense of where this election is at. When you look at the mainstream media and the polls, she's up by 5 points almost in every state. But when you go online, this is what makes me not sure. When you go on TikTok, when you go online, everybody is pro-Trump of a lot of different races, backgrounds. I know you have a lot of diverse friends. I have a lot of gay friends who are voting for Trump. I mean, I don't know.
Everybody I know is a Trump fan. Everybody. I mean, again, I live in Florida and I live in Palm Beach, which is where he lives. So I meet anyone from my school, which, by the way, is a school his son went to. Barron just graduated last year. But everyone is, forget Republican, they are Trump. So it'll be interesting because no matter what people I've spoken to, and I actually still obviously keep in touch with all the people I know in New York. A lot of my friends in New York are voting Trump as well. I actually just had a call yesterday with a friend of mine, very wealthy gentleman, who we were talking about policies and the fact that Kamala was going to be giving her first interview last night. And I, knowing his personality and who he is, I thought for sure that he was going to vote for Kamala. And he's like, oh, absolutely not. Her policies are terrible for me. I mean, I am not rich.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. President Trump, almost 8 years ago, I think now, extended those amazing tax breaks for the upper middle class and then the wealthy. And I mean, if you are savvy enough to be doing C corps and S corps to run your business, I mean, you are getting an enormous tax break. I mean, we've seen, right? Over the past 5 years, the wealth for the 1-3% has just tripled. You know, look, I'm a complete capitalist. I love it. It's the best functioning society that we've seen. Socialism, unfortunately, doesn't work. Communism doesn't work. But, you know, there's got to be a check and balance. However, I think a lot of people are really nervous about her tax cuts to the point, I don't know, are the rich going to pay? Is that going to stall the economy? But you do have to get control of making the rich uber, uber rich, because then you've got a problem. Then you've got more of an aristocracy than you do a democracy. And we have to have a democracy for our kids and kids beyond.
Right. Well, it'll be very interesting to see in the next 2 weeks how it plays out if she does some more interviews. Again, I think people were very nervous about her doing this unscripted stuff. And, you know, so here we go. We've just started as of last night. She's got, 2 weeks until we go into the debate. So she better do a couple other sit downs in between, I'm thinking. And although she may say she's getting ready for the debate. So who knows what will happen. I know a couple people are thinking of requesting her. Didn't you say you wanted to request her to see if she would do your show?
I request all politicians. Marianne Williamson, who's still running. But she, you know, she has a much smaller chance, but she's amazing. She's been on my podcast. I would speak to former President Trump. I would speak to Kamala Harris. I would speak to RFK Jr., who this past week endorsed President Trump. We'll see how that, if that in fact helps him or doesn't make a big difference. But no, I mean, I think politics is definitely divisive, but we all have to care about it, you know, and this idea of like, oh, well, stay in your lane. I mean, it doesn't exist anymore. You know, all our lanes are all about the future of our kids, decisions like women's right to choose. So that's
and I think it's so important. You know, I hate hearing from people when you ask them about their politics and they are saying, oh, I'm just not going to vote because I don't like either candidate. I think that's a terrible answer. You should vote. It's your right to vote. I guess it's your right not to vote as well, but you should sort of take a stand on what you do believe and get involved, because not voting is the worst thing you can do, in my opinion.
Marianne Williamson's a big write-in, a third-party candidate. She says that democracy is not going to change in this country until that independent or that third-party candidate gets such an enormous chunk of the vote that it rocks the system. So if you're not happy with those two candidates, then vote for, you know, that third party. And of course, people, you know, have their own opinions about that. You're taking away a vote from somebody else. But again, I say it on this podcast, I say it on my own. We, you know, these, both the Democratic and Republican Party are run by huge PAC money that ultimately has the 1-5% in their best interest. They do not have ours anymore. And if you believe that the Democrats are fully for you, I think that you're wrong. And same with the Republicans. I just don't. I don't think that they care much about the middle class. They care about being elected, staying in power, and how are the uber rich going to continue to function and make decisions.
Right. Okay. So we're going to see what comes down the pike in the next 2 weeks. I think that on September 10th, we're going to get a lot more insight to both parties. Do you agree?
Yes. I'm very curious about this debate. I think this will be a huge moment. And I like this very demure Kamala Harris. I think this is a great way to play it. Keep her low key, keep her, you know, they don't want her having these tee-hee-hee explosive moments. They just don't. She can't pull it off. She can't. I mean, I'm annoying. So if I were running for president, I'd be tee-hee-hee all the time, but nobody wants to see that.
Well, the one thing that I think has worked well for her so far is Kamala. You know, everybody was questioning her choice in Tim Walz. And I think so far people do really like him, and they think that he is the pick that no one knew she needed and the partner no one knew she needed. So I think so far, so good on that. I want to talk about what you brought up a few minutes ago, which was the state of Pennsylvania and the fact that we were looking at having Josh Shapiro. Everybody thought that he was the VP pick that was like the one that was going to be, right? And it was important for a bunch of different reasons. People speculated that he wasn't picked partially because he was Jewish, partially because of, you know, a bunch of other things. The one thing that I want to talk about is this conspiracy theory that's going around that it had to do with a case that he was attorney general. He was in the office of attorney general at the time when a case about a woman named Ellen Greenberg came in front of him. Have you heard about this case?
I have, and I'm curious your thoughts. It's headed to the Supreme Court, or did they finalize a decision yet?
It's in the Supreme Court right now that they are going to look at evidence to see if it's worthy of reopening. So for people that don't know what happened, I will just say 13 years ago, there was a first grade teacher. Her name is Ellen Greenberg, an only child of two parents that lived in Philadelphia. She was engaged at the time. She was in her kitchen making a fruit salad, I believe. Her fiance lived with her at the time. He went to the gym, comes back up from the gym half an hour later. He says the door is bolted. He called her a few times. She wouldn't answer. He broke down the door, found her bloody and dead on the kitchen floor. He calls 911. They're talking him through what to do. And somewhere in the middle of the 911 call, he says he found a knife in her chest. It was initially ruled a homicide. Soon after, it was changed to a suicide. What's interesting about this case, and then it was closed, by the way, but what's interesting about this case is that there was 20 stab wounds, 10 of them in the back of her head and the back of her neck. The other 10 were for her abdomen and chest. Obviously, this seems very hard to do if you wanted to commit suicide. There's plenty of other ways to do it. Stabbing yourself in the back of the neck seems very difficult and hard. And so that's where we're at. The fiance has never been questioned. many things were wrong with this case. The knife was never tested for prints. She has a journal that was never given back to the parents. They've never seen it. They don't know what's in it. They don't know if she was suicidal. They don't know if she wasn't. Like, there's no answers to what's going on, and no one seems to be asking the right questions. So the parents have been on a mission for 13 years at this point to get more answers. The fiance is married now. He got married, I think, 3 or 4 years later, has 2 kids, lives in New York City, has never talked about it. I think that's suspicious. So there's all sorts of interesting new things in the case. The first being that the Supreme Court has finally agreed to listen to the parents, let them bring evidence in front of them to suggest that she was killed and not, you know, she didn't kill herself, and see if there's a way that they will reopen the case to allow them to get some of this stuff out, to allow them to change the medical examiner's ruling to homicide, and from there be able to go after who they think did it.
Mm. And so why does this come back to Josh Shapiro? Just the handling of it, or?
No, so Josh Shapiro recused himself. I might not be using the word right, but took himself, he sided with the fact that this was suicide, which again is such a big deal because anyone looking at the facts is like, there's no way this is suicide. But it came out that Josh Shapiro was friendly with the parents of the fiance, a guy named Sam Goldberg, Sam Goldberg. And the parents, first of all, here's another thing that's very suspicious. Before Sam called 911, he called his very powerful uncle, who is a judge, and the uncle's son, his cousin, is a prosecutor or a lawyer of some sort. He called both of them before he called 911. They also were the two people that were allowed to come into the apartment 2 days later to get a suit for the funeral for Sam. But while they were there, took the journal, took 2 computers, one being hers, took all sorts of things, and then were able, and then turned it over to the police when they were asked for it. But all this crazy shit went down. And so Josh Shapiro was friendly with the family, who is a very powerful, very rich family.
Got
it. That's where the conspiracy theory comes in.
All right. Well, guilty. I think that just tells me everything right there.
Yeah. I mean, it's a terrible case. Look at how beautiful this girl is. You know, it's so sad. And what these parents are going through, it's terrible to hear what they're going through. So I really hope. Oh, and the other interesting thing that came out of it is we're going to spend a year hearing things back and forth and having discovery just to get the Supreme Court to make a decision, when there are people that could decide right now to reopen the case. So I think with all this new attention and people really talking about it again, I'm hoping that someone will say, you know what, this looks suspicious, and we are going to, you know, why not go down the road just to see what really happened? Here's a picture behind us right now of the fiance, who's now moved on with a new life. I think it's crazy that he hasn't talked about it, that he hasn't shared with people why he thinks, you know, the thing too is, in the 911 call, he starts by saying she stabbed herself. Well, how would he know that? Most people don't say that on a 911 call. You walk back in from the gym and you see a knife in your fiance's chest. Wouldn't you think she's been stabbed, seeing that much blood? You know, I don't know. The whole thing is very suspicious.
That part of it seems less suspicious to me, because if she's locked in a room and he opens the door, I mean, what, that seems like a likely conclusion. Like, he sees blood. Now, I guess he didn't immediately see the knife, so to your point, maybe that's a mix-up, but that one
evidence. In one hand, she had a dish towel, a white dish towel. So if you're stabbing yourself 20 times, enough that you're going to kill yourself and sever your cord in the back of your head, your spinal cord, are you holding a dish rag? I mean, don't you have both hands? Like, I don't know, because obviously you and I haven't tried. I'm not sure why would you stab yourself in the back of the neck? If you have a knife, aren't you slitting your wrist? Like, where would you get the idea to stab yourself in the back of the neck?
So what else has come out about the former fiance, or the fiance when she passed away? I mean,
nothing. No, that's what's crazy. The case was closed very soon after. And he kind of disappeared. He stopped speaking to the parents. The parents would say, you know, we know that this is a murder. We know that this is not suicide. And he would change the subject and he would hang up. And then he, you know, he stopped speaking to them and moved on very quickly. So I think it's very, very suspicious. I don't know why that anyone would believe that this was something that shouldn't be looked into. And the other thing is it seems terrible that these poor parents haven't been able to get their questions answered. You know, if the medical examiner wanted to change it to suicide from homicide, they should have had a sit down with them and said, let me explain to you, if you want to kill yourself, and you can do it in the back of your head, you can do it in your chest. Let me explain how and why we've come to this conclusion. But no one's given them that information. No one's let them have the journal so they can see her frame of mind. And also one other thing, sorry, that we found out is that she had a series of bruises all over her body that were in different stages of healing, not just from the day of. So it's like she was hiding the fact that maybe there was some domestic violence going on or something that we don't know about. This is why we want to see her journal. I think, you know, there's just a lot of questions that need to be answered. And it seems to me that it's not out of this world to ask for it to be reopened. To look
at those questions. Well, praying for those parents and her family, because God bless them. I mean, grieving and trying to get to the truth. And yeah, I mean, I really hope that they get that case reopened so they can really look at it thoroughly and make a decision. But that's so heartbreaking for them.
Yeah, heartbreaking. All right, another conspiracy theory that happened this week. Have you been watching about this super yacht that sank in off the coast of Sicily?
How strange, right? At first we think, oh, it's caught up in a storm. And they said that basically what happens sometimes, I guess, when you're out in the ocean is there can be this like phantom, you know, kind of wave and gust of air that can be so intense. It can you know, take a ship out. So initially they think that happened. And then they come back and say, no, it was crew error. Yeah. That killed these individuals, some of these individuals. Some of them, I think, how many? Seven were rescued and still alive, including a mom that was able to hold up her baby. This is a very bizarre story. Other ships in the area, obviously, you know, they knew this storm was coming.
Yeah. They said that everyone on the crew was saved except for the chef. Out of, it looks like maybe 22 people originally were on the ship, 15 were saved. Six passengers were trapped in the hull. But there's all sorts of conspiracy theories going on because they were there to celebrate the fact that there was a long time case going on for the boat belonged to Mike Lynch. He was basically the European's version of Bill Gates, this very attractive man behind you. And there was an issue where his company was accused of scheming to inflate the value of the company before its sale, before it went public, I guess, and was sold. And there was billions and millions of dollars up, you know, and they finally won this case. They were, acquitted of all charges. And what's strange about this is that his co-defendant, a few days, like 24 hours, 48 hours before this happened and this man died, he was hit by a car jogging on the street.
I know. It is very coincidental. Or just, yeah, keep going.
You think it's coincidental? I mean, I don't at all. I mean, I think we're going to find out that. So now I see that there's been manslaughter charges that have come up on someone in the crew. I wouldn't be surprised. I'm going to make a prediction that someone was paid a lot of money to do whatever they could to kill this man. But also, if now that I say that and it's coming out of my mouth, that seems ridiculous, because how would you know a storm was going to come and, you know, totally take this unsinkable ship down? I mean, that kind of makes no sense too. So I'm not really sure. I mean, it seems crazy. It seems absolutely crazy. I kind of want to know why these four didn't make it, or why these six didn't make it out when the rest did. I don't know. It all seems very nuts, but I predict we're going to find out what happened. I think whoever is up for this manslaughter charge will probably cave. And if there was something that went on, I'm sure at this point he will tell. But it's just insane. I think it makes no sense that every boat around them was fine and this one boat was not.
Right. I mean, you're right though. How do you time that? You know, I don't know, unless they, kind of knew there was this storm coming, but I mean, that's an awful lot of planning that everything goes right. It is very strange, but yeah, you're right. And even I'd read the BBC had put out a story that the captain of the boat, I think, has declined to answer questions and is almost kind of almost their equivalent of pleading the fifth. And his representative is saying, well, he's exhausted. This has been a really long process. He exercised his right that he doesn't have to answer certain questions. It's like,
yeah.
I mean, and they're saying this Bayesian yacht, there's no reason that this yacht, which was very well built and crafted, would have sunk like this so quickly without some sort of alteration. Like, why could this have happened? But to your point, they claim it's going to be very lengthy, in-depth investigation. And I believe the boat is still sunk. They're going to have to really, I don't know if they're going to be bringing the yacht back up and then examining it, but
well, with a man with this money, and I don't mean to start a new conspiracy theory. I'm curious if I want to know that they found his real body, that he's not dead, that he's not faking his death. I mean, I don't know. It seems completely bizarre. When this story first came out and they had not found everybody yet, I was like, oh, hell no, this guy's faking his death. So the fact that they found his body and his daughter's is also very interesting. I mean, I want to make sure that it was the real bodies of them, I guess. Right?
Oh,
I mean, what?
I love your little conspiracy hat.
Yeah.
I know.
Seems odd. And I wonder if they're questioning whoever it was that was up against them in this fraud trial, because that would obviously seem like the people that are trying to kill these two, right? But the fact that this poor guy, you know, was hit on the side of the road and killed running. I mean, that makes absolutely no sense. We haven't heard if they've arrested the driver. We haven't heard who the driver was. I mean, I'm just curious about all that.
Yeah, look, it's a story right now that certainly has a lot of questions that need to be answered.
Yeah. All right. So we'll see what happens there. Next, what else was going on this week? A lot of people had comments about Ben Affleck and that he's a big cheater, that he's been seeing this woman kick Kennedy since April. I guess the end of April is when J-Lo filed for divorce and, cited that that's when they got separated. You know, I love Perez Hilton. I'm friends with Perez. I saw that he went very hard on him calling him a cheater, saying that he absolutely was cheating with this younger girl. And then I saw, on TMZ, and I saw that Ben Affleck's team did give a statement saying that absolutely is not true. We're not in a relationship. So what are your thoughts on it?
Well, I have thoughts. I don't know. You know, their relationship, here's my thought. I don't care. Two, I really don't. But two, I've always said this. I believe that the love of J-Lo's life is A-Rod. And have you ever been around Alex Rodriguez? I've only seen Alex Rodriguez at a New York Yankees game.
Yes, I've been around him.
He's very striking in real life. Very handsome.
Very handsome.
Very handsome. So tall. Gorgeous, gorgeous. But A-Rod has a problem. You know, A-Rod does not like to stay loyal either. And he was talking to a member of Southern Charm, the reality show, as well as I'm sure many other women. And I believe that was the man that she was crazy about. And then very quickly, she jumped into this relationship again.
But wait, why do you say him? Because she's historically jumped from relationship to relationship.
Well, she was with Alex for a very long time. They were together like 6 years, 7 years. And then they were engaged the last year or two. And, you know, reportedly, her kids and A-Rod's kids like loved one another and got along really, really well. And I think it was devastating beyond devastating for her. I don't know anybody in her camp, but I just feel the way it was done. She looked so solemn after. And I think Ben was such a great rebound.
She was in Ben Affleck's car like the next day. And then they were engaged within a few months.
Yeah, don't you do that when you're like so heartbroken? I mean, you're trying to get over somebody. So I think she moved on so fast to him. And I think the relationship was probably not good from the start. Do I know if Ben Affleck has been cheating with Kit Kennedy? No clue. By the way, this woman is the daughter of RFK Jr., who's no longer running for president. But
yes, very interesting. I mean, for all we know, he was just hanging with her because they're talking politics stuff. I mean, you know, but anyways, long story short, do I think he was cheating? No. I mean, once you're separated, and of course people are going to be all over me about this topic, but once you are separated from someone, even if you haven't filed, as long as him and J-Lo know that there was a separation, you know, like what's the problem, you know? And so, but the other thing is it could be a problem, and why she kind of shut it down so quickly and then filed for divorce is because she's so triggered by any man talking to a woman, much less a younger woman, because it happened with a lot of the men in her past. So maybe she saw a phone call from her. Maybe they were hanging out. I don't know. And she was like, we're done, you know, and then there was no coming back. So he was like, okay, fuck it.
Yeah. Are you invested in this new Ben relationship? Like, are you invested in
that?
Like,
I can't give a shit, but it's like all over the news. I don't know why anyone is shocked about what happened with J-Lo, but you know, I just saw that it was all over the news. So I figured we should talk about it. Okay. One thing that I know you want to talk about quickly, I haven't been able to watch it yet. So give us the rundown on Chimp Crazy or whatever it's called.
Chimp Crazy is a 4-part documentary on HBO. It's the highest watched documentary on HBO since McMillions, which is also an epic documentary that was produced by Mark Wahlberg. And this is about the chimp trade down in Missouri, Florida, like your neck of the woods, southern states, where it has been legal in states to own exotic chimps. And it is about a woman, Tanya Haddix, who I'm obsessed with, but became the focus of PETA. And she worked with another woman that owned chimpanzees. And it is the story of shutting down this exotic chimp trade. However, when they go to remove 7 chimps from Tanya and her friend's compound, one chimp is missing. And they say that it died and they cremated it and they have a little bag of ashes. And it goes from there. I won't give you any more spoilers, but it is now the search is on for, is that chimp alive or not alive? And by the way, the chimp Tonka is very, very famous. He was in Hollywood films. And if you recall, 2 decades ago, greeting cards, all kinds of greeting cards in the US would have a chimpanzee on them. It was Tonka. His image was used. He was in Coke commercials.
Is this the one you're saying is missing?
Yes. Well, or is he dead? So, but PETA comes off in this as so, it just, you know, PETA is doing the right thing, really. I mean, these chimps belong in the wild, not in people's homes, but PETA comes off just looking so nerdy and lame. And Tanya is epic. You cannot make up her personality.
Well, where does she say Tonka is?
She says Tonka's dead and she holds up his ashes. But
why? That's
true.
Why would the animal not be dead? I don't follow why it would be missing somewhere. You think it's like in someone's backyard?
PETA took the animals, put them in a sanctuary in Florida, and the women had a real affinity for Tonka over the other ones. And so the question is, would they really give up Tonka? And is Tonka really dead? You know, but PETA has launched an investigation. And then on top of that, if people remember, do you remember the famous chimp attack in Stamford, Connecticut in 2009? The chimp ripped off a woman's face. It was horrific.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
So this woman and the other woman in the documentary actually sold the Connecticut woman that chimp, Travis. And it's wild. The actual story of Travis and being raised and then how he went, unfortunately for the pun, ape on people. It really is.
Whatever happened to him? Did they kill him?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. When the police showed up that day that he mauled the woman. Oh my God. The whole thing is the characters in this are just like Tiger King. And the guy that produced this is the same producer of Tiger King, who, by the way, is kind of a shitty human because he lies to Tanya to get her to do this documentary by sending a proxy producer that Tanya thinks is the real producer. There's so many layers to it. It's so good.
Why is the guy from Traitors in it?
Because he was in the Tonka film and he's a big member of PETA.
Okay, so he's against the woman with the terrible hair?
Correct.
Got it. Oh, gosh.
So good. It is. I mean, it's everything. It's comical. You have empathy for the animals. You hate PETA. Then you love PETA. You're angry at the director. It covers, it checks so many boxes.
And do we like Tanya?
I'm obsessed. I mean, Tanya, I agree with PETA. Tanya should not own exotic animals. I don't think anybody should. They require so much care and they are truly unpredictable, especially monkeys. They talk about this. Like the monkeys are, they have superhuman strength and they will turn on anyone except for usually they never turn on their owner because they're bonded to the owner almost like a parent, but anyone else, a child, a pet, a neighbor, they're very, very, very dangerous. So I don't think Tanya should own chimps, but her personality and the plastic surgery and the makeup.
She's very Tammy Faye Baker. A little bit.
I love everything about her.
I mean, so funny. I can't wait to watch this. Okay. And currently, does she still have this going on?
Yes. So the third episode airs this Sunday and the fourth, the conclusion. So we'll find out all the...
Have you made a request to have her on your show?
Oh my God, you better believe it. But you know, she's very mistrusting of... And this is the fucking thing. Like everyone's going to turn on mainstream media because this producer, Eric Good, lies. He lies to get this whole story. So it's like, who would ever agree to an interview?
Have you actually spoken to her?
Tanya and I have emailed, but we have not spoken.
Okay. So she just hasn't agreed yet.
Yeah. We'll see. I mean, if I were her, I don't know that I would do interviews after this. I don't know.
Amazing. Well, I can't wait to see what happens with this one. But is there any chance that she could also be going to jail like the Tiger King did?
I don't know. I mean, there's two episodes left and it certainly seems, the Tiger King went to jail because he had a hit out for that woman, tried to kill her. Tanya, I don't think has anything like that.
Oh yeah. I forgot about that.
She's not doing anything illegal by having the pets because in Florida she lives in Missouri. In Missouri, I believe you can still own exotic animals. So she's not doing anything illegal. PETA feels that it's illegal, but.
Wow. Okay. Well, we'll have to watch. This sounds great. All right. Let's talk about something else that's on TV right now that I just watched 5 episodes of last night because I was so obsessed. I'm watching Real Housewives of OC. Have you been watching? I know that this is your forte.
I love a little Bravo.
There is so much going on. This must be their highest rated year. I mean, what do you think?
Oh, I think it's epic. You know, that's a great question. I haven't checked into the ratings for RHOC, but I have to imagine they're enormous. This season is so good. And how lucky is Shannon Bedore, who we all anticipated hating on for getting a DUI at this stage in her life when she should have her shit more together and can afford an Uber. And in fact, we love Shannon and we're like, get rid of Alexis and John.
Well, can we just break this down? Because I'm not really a person that watches a lot of this stuff and follows. And now I'm so obsessed. And I just have, I mean, I was texting you last night trying to ask you questions because I couldn't follow. So first of all, did we all hate John Jansen last season? Was he a terrible dude?
I think people had their red flag up about John, but they didn't hate John as much as they do now. Really, the hate came when he got with Alexis. And by the way, they are now engaged.
Okay, right. So the latest news is that they're engaged. What seems odd to me in watching these shows play out is that Alexis seems like the barking dog for John. And John, who, whether or not people believe Shannon paid for all of his stuff and then, you know, then he borrowed the money or this, that, and the other thing. I mean, it's pretty crazy for him to sue her for $75,000. I mean, I don't know that he's going to get it. Do you? I mean, if she paid for a lot of stuff and has the receipts for that, and then, okay, so whatever. She borrowed money. She used his money to pay for a facelift and then a loan. Okay, but why make that so public? Like, talk to her about it. I just, that whole thing is so gross. And then to go down in the storyline of Alexis constantly crying about, oh my God, the gloves are off. If you would see what she did, and she's so horrible. Alexis, she hasn't been horrible to you. Shut up. The past, you're dealing with your ex your current fiance and his ex. Like, don't get involved in that. That's between them. And she gets so involved and is threatening to now put out videotapes. Listen, I said this to you earlier. How bad could these videotapes be? She's like, it's going to ruin her life. It's going to ruin her kid's life. We already saw she drove into a house because she was drunk. She didn't hurt anyone else. She didn't drive over a dog. She didn't, you know, none of those things, No, nothing else happened that we know of. So what else could be so bad? And to make a whole couple episodes about these tapes that you're dangling in front of her seems terrible. The other thing that was terrible was the tough love that Tamara was giving her. I mean, yeah, it's like, I get it that you feel fed up with your friend. You want to call her out for being an alcoholic. That is not how you have an intervention. That is not how you, have boundaries with someone. You have to come from a loving place. I mean, it's so cringeworthy. And I like Tamara, but to see how she treats her is really mean.
Yeah. I mean, everything you're saying is exactly how fans feel this season. And by the way, for context, Alexis's ex-husband, Jim Bellino, sued Tamara and Shannon for defamation of his business years ago. And they settled out of court. And Shannon has said it cost her $300,000 in legal fees and payments. So Shannon, this is like Shannon's arch enemy. And Tamara, people are so disgusted that Tamara is such a flip-flopper that she is now friends with Alexis, who, like, her ex-husband sued Tamara and caused insane distress. Like, how the fuck could you do that? But the thing I do side with Tamara a bit on is their jobs are to interact with whoever is cast, right? For better or worse. And the problem we see in these franchises, Vanderpump Rules is going through it. Ariana refuses to film with Tom Sandoval. So you don't have a show. So
that show's dumb. I don't understand why people like it. You need to tell me. That show, I think, is completely fabricated and the storylines are so stupid. Why do people like it so much? Yeah.
Well, I think they liked it more when all of them were broke and like working for Lisa Vanderpump in the bar and then would party and all have sex with each other. I mean, kind of the thing with Vanderpump Rules is it's very incestuous. They've all like hooked up with each other. That was kind of the thing. So I think it just has a long legacy. But now, I mean, we're hearing that it's going to be completely recast.
Interesting. I mean, recast or just maybe a whole new show. I think that show's seen its final days. I think we're done with it. But the other thing I want to talk about on the OC, well, a couple things. So now I'm really into, and I'm going to get everybody's name wrong. So let's talk about Jen. She was just behind us for a second. Jen, the one that always everyone makes fun of because she can't pay her bills. She doesn't have any money. And they're all uptight because she's going to Vegas all the time and she has a Rolex on her arm and she's driving a Range Rover or whatever. Mm-hmm. Now, it's obvious that she's the thing she has on her or the thing she's driving is because she's dating a man who I don't know that he's wealthy or not, but can afford that stuff and is paying for it. She's obviously not scamming people out of money. She's dating a rich guy. What's the problem? Why do they have so many? What's the issue with that?
Well, we think he's rich, but he's been involved in this illegal gambling ring that was happening here in California with Shohei Ohtani, the very famous Dodgers pitcher, hitter. I guess the guy can do like every base or whatever. So he's like the best baseball player now in history. And it was Shohei's assistant who was placing bets allegedly through this guy, Pedantri's boyfriend. Illegal here in California. You know, you can't bet, you can't be working with a bookie, all that kind of stuff. And he has said that he is not guilty. He had nothing to do with this. I think I believe he's cooperated with the FBI. No charges have been filed that I know of. I think he's just been, I've got to double check if there were charges or not, but he's like caught up in it. And I think he says he helped assist bets that were done in Vegas where it's legal. But okay. A lot of people are wondering.
I read something about how they were illegally going into this pitcher. I'm sorry, Ohtani, is that his name? Mm-hmm. Into his account illegally and placing bets for as much as $500,000 without his knowledge. I mean, that's pretty terrible. What are they betting on, by the way? On his own games or like on other sports games?
I think on everything. Did they bet on his own games? I don't know. I don't follow sports enough.
Interesting. All right. Well, either way, terrible. So we don't know if she played, so now they're engaged as well. So it'll be interesting to see if the horse she bet on, meaning this guy, Ryan, is going to go to jail and she's not going to have a pot to piss in anymore because she can't use his car. She'll have to sell the Rolex, like all this crazy stuff.
Yeah.
So, and she'll be moving home with her parents or something. The other thing is, with this girl, is it Emily?
Yes.
Simpson. Never opened her eyes. Her eyes are always closed. Have you noticed that when she talks?
Oh, really? Oh, I haven't noticed that about Simpson.
I mean, maybe she just has really heavy eyelashes. So it seems like her eyes are always closed. I don't understand her relationship with her and her husband. Maybe this is an unpopular opinion. She seems very nice to him and she's always saying funny things and nice things. Oh, can you help me to the car with this bag? No, you do it. Oh, give me a kiss. And he like barely kisses her. You know, I don't know. Oh, do you think I'm a good mom? Huh? Yeah. I mean, I don't like this dude. I don't, Shane. I think it's very weird. Do you like him?
Do I like Shane? I've liked Shane in different seasons, but I get what you're saying. They seem to have this relationship. Yeah. Where it's very much Shane. Yeah. Is always sarcastic to her and putting her down a little bit.
I don't like it. I don't like it.
I gotcha. I could see that.
And again, I haven't watched it long enough, so I don't have any context. I'm just saying the 5 episodes I watched last night, it made me mad for her because she keeps talking about how he's the love of her life and she hopes to see another 15 years after the first 15 she's had. And I was like, why? You could get a lot better than this dude. Anyway, that's my opinion. But I can't wait to watch when it comes out again. What night is that on? A Thursday night?
Yeah, Thursday nights for RHOC. This season is so good, I do have to say. Yeah, but Shane doesn't bother me as much. He kind of reminds me a little bit. My husband's very dry and a little sarcastic too. So we sort of have that a same dynamic a little bit. Not to the, I think, biting edge that Shane does, but it doesn't bother me terribly. And they seem to have, God, are they the only ones that have stayed married on that show, that group? Well, Heather and Terry. But I think that's about it. Wow. And Tamara's been with her man for a while now.
Oh, yeah. They've been together forever. We don't see him that much on the show, do we? I haven't seen him in any of the episodes.
No, I haven't seen a lot of the husbands this season either. No.
So it really is just New Jersey that all shows their husbands.
I do love the Jersey husbands. Yeah.
I had Frank on. I love Frank. I think when I go to New York. I'm going to New York for September 11th. And I think I'm hoping I'm going to meet up with Frank and a couple other people that are very heavily involved in dog rescues. And we're going to have a dinner to try and discuss some options of how we can all get involved in some bigger picture ideas for animal rescue. So that should be fun. All right, guys, next Friday is the Friday that we are announcing the winner to our contest of 2 free tickets to the Eagles concert in Las Vegas at the Sphere. You have until next Thursday to enter this contest. It is a big deal. You are going to want these tickets. They're very hard to come by. And with every day, they're more and more expensive. So this is 2 free tickets to the Eagles in the Sphere. We are announcing the winner on Rumble Live next Friday, September 6th at 12:45 Eastern. We want you to be part of this. So Sarah, tell them how they could be part of it.
All they have to do is go to Misunderstood Podcast on Apple, hit 5 stars, leave a review, go to the Sarah Fraser Show on Apple, hit 5 stars, leave a review. In both reviews, mention Rachel and Sarah. Like, I'm looking at the awesome reviews we have. This one, 5 stars, Rachel and Sarah. I love listening to Sarah and Rachel together. Their hot takes and hot tea are so unique, and they're authentically themselves. So once you do that and you subscribe to both shows, so when you're there, boom, hit the subscribe button. You just screenshot your review. You slide into my DMs, The Sarah Fraser Show, or you can slide into Misunderstood Podcast. You can slide into her DMs on IG. Send us that screenshot and you're entered. I've gotten several this week, so I'm keeping track. We're going to pick at random next week. And you're going to Vegas. You're getting 2 tickets. Go there, bring a friend, bring your paramour, and go see the Eagles, who are
your paramour. All right, guys, if you have any questions and you're having problems or anything with entering, please DM us or get a hold of us. We can help you. But this is, again, the last week, so please do it. If you have any ideas or topics you want us to cover next week, please let us know. And that's it. Sarah, have a great week. I can't wait to see you next week and see what else happens in the world in the week that we are going to be covering that we don't know about yet.
Sounds great. Bye, gorgeous.
Bye, honey.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. please be sure to subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. You can support the show by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. Do you have ideas for the show or want to reach out? Email us at info@misunderstoodpodcast@gmail.com. That's spelled MISS understood. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time.